You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everybody and welcome to Series 3, Episode 16 of Between the Stripes LOI Podcast. Myself, Kieran Burke, and co-host John Breyer in studio tonight. We're a little bit short on time tonight, so we're not going to ramble on like we usually do for our intro. I'm just going to say to you, we have an absolutely superb interview we're about to play for you now. We're very, very lucky to have Mark Devlin, the Dundalk CEO, joining us on this week's show. We've spoken to him about, obviously, the big white elephant in the room every time someone from, I suppose, the hierarchy of Dundalk is ever interviewed anywhere. It's Oriel Park. So we've spoken to him about the possibility of redeveloping that. We've spoken about what Mark is bringing or looking to bring into Dundalk. Very interesting stuff on stats and technology he's looking to introduce. And we've spoken about the state of Irish football. We've covered a whole range of things. And his opening statement on previous experiences in England is absolutely amazing. It's going to blow you away. So not going to rabbit on any longer. We'll hear from John in a moment. But first, here is our interview with Dundalk CEO Mark Devlin. Okay, folks, so as we promised you, we have a very, very special treat now. We're delighted to say we're joined on Between the Stripes LOI podcast this week by the current CEO of Dundalk, the Champions of Ireland. It's, of course, Mark Devlin. Mark, welcome to the show and thanks very much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Good to talk to you.
So, Mark, I suppose the first question a lot of people might like to know, I know people are aware of your background, obviously having worked at some big clubs in England, but who exactly is Mark Devlin? Tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Well, I won't bore you too much, but I've been in football for 20 odd years. My very first job was at Watford Football Club. Spent half an hour there, and then my wife rang me to tell me that she was in labour. So I went home, and so I had a week off after half an hour. So I joined Watford as head of sales, and I then progressed to a company called Loftus Road PLC, which at the time owned Queen's Park Rangers and London Wasps Rugby Club. Also on the commercial side, I've always been on the commercial and marketing side of football when I've worked in it, and also in my previous life in the travel industry as well. I was always on the sales and marketing side. I was fortunate enough to join Swindon Town as their chief executive. Then got invited back to Queen's Park Rangers a couple of years later to join them as their chief executive. If you really want a bit of interest, the guys listening to this might recall the story, or they may not know about it, but whilst I was on holiday with the family, I had a phone call from some of the guys at the club at Queen's Park Rangers. This is back in 2005, to tell me that one of the board directors had been supposedly held at gunpoint in my office, which rather cut the holiday short. And I came back a few days later. Nevertheless, there'd been a big bust up on the board, and I left QPR soon after that. I was probably on the wrong side of the board, and it didn't seem like a good place to be at the time. It was a bit of a madhouse. Swindon invited me back, and unfortunately, a year or so later, in 2006, I was involved in a light aircraft crash on the opening day of the season. Because whilst I was at Swindon, we'd employed Dennis Wise and Gus Wyatt as our manager and assistant manager. We all got very excited about the opening day fixture. Got the opportunity to travel up to Hartlepool, of all places, in a light aircraft. But we managed to see the game, which, if memory serves me correctly, we won 1-0. And unfortunately, the plane crashed trying to land. It actually ran out of fuel. And to make it worse, my son, who was 10 at the time, was on board with me. So I took some time out of football to recover from injuries and get back to being in one piece. Spent a little bit of time outside of football, and then got back into it at a brief stint helping out a friend who had bought Notts County Football Club as their commercial and marketing director before I was offered the job at Brentford, where I spent 7.5 years as the chief executive there, until December of last year, and thoroughly enjoyed my time there. Brentford, really proud of the achievements there of all of the people at Brentford. Got a very unique ownership there and a relatively unique way of, particularly of recruiting players, putting a lot more emphasis on stats than just pure eyeballs on the ground. That's not to say that traditional scouting didn't have its place. It's just that we had the ability, we had access to stats for players all over the world. And to be honest with you, Brentford had to fish in ponds that other clubs in the Championship didn't have to, because simply we didn't have the money. We had second or third lowest turnover, one of the smallest grounds in the division. So we had a really good time at Brentford, promoted when in my time there, even got into the playoffs in the first season up in the Championship.
I have to ask you, Mark, was that the season you lost to Yeovil in the final?
Yes, that is the...
you no, have to bring the, that up, John.
You obviously know who I support now.
That was when we were in first League division. One.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it was horrendous. Actually, we had a penalty to beat Doncaster on the final day of the season, which would have seen us automatically promoted. The guy hit the crossbar, and Doncaster promptly went down the other end.
I remember.
And scored.
Yeah.
We had to go into a playoff, we got through the playoffs. And yes, we lost to Yeovil. We lost to Yeovil that year, and then got promoted via an Alan Judge penalty at home to Preston North End the following season. And then we got into the playoffs to get promoted to the Premier League in our first season up in the Championship, but sadly lost in the semi-finals to Middlesbrough season.
We obviously went through different emotions there. I'm a big Yeovil Town fan. I was there actually at Wembley on that day. So, it was probably having a great day, unfortunately, weren't you? But you went up the season afterwards anyway with them.
We did, but that's football, isn't it? It's full of ups and downs and emotions, and you know, one year you're up and the next year you're down, and you only have to look sadly at what's happened to Yeovil since their one year in the Championship to just see how things can change so dramatically, and such is the life at a football club, I'm afraid.
Yeah, we won't speak about that because that will put John in a bad mood for the evening. It won't be a very good show for our listeners. But Mark, you speak about there the use of stats at Brentford, and I know that's something that Mike Tracy has spoken very heavily about at Dundalk and looking to bring that into the League of Ireland. Is that something that would have been influencing the decision to bring yourself into Dundalk?
I think it had a part to play, because at Brentford we used stats right across the business. Not just player recruitment, but we invested heavily in software in terms of membership schemes, season tickets, ticketing systems. It meant that we got to know more about our fans than the majority of clubs, certainly in the Championship, and I would suggest even in the Premier League, where they probably don't feel they need to work quite as hard to drive attendances and to build a fan base as a club like Brentford has to do. So we utilised stats and the creation of a data warehouse. So we knew an awful lot about our supporters. We knew what they liked about Brentford. We knew what they did when they came to Brentford in terms of whether they bought stuff in the shops or in the catering bars and kiosks. But slowly but surely, we were also getting to know more and more about the things that they like to do away from Brentford, and that actually helped us in our commercial dealings as well, because that kind of level of knowledge and data is very powerful, and as long as it's used correctly and you don't abuse the information you have, it does mean you can tailor your marketing campaigns to individuals, and you know what you like and I might not like, and it means that you need to be marketed to in a different way. And so we invested very heavily for a small club in that area, because it was very tough for Brentford in an area that's populated. You know, there's only 5 or 6 miles separates Brentford, Fulham, Queen's Park Rangers and Chelsea. Mm. And so you have to shout very loud, particularly then in a city that's got, you know, 13 clubs as well, and local media that tend to focus on some of the northern powerhouses in the Premier League rather than the clubs on their doorstep.
Yeah, that's very interesting what you bring up there about the use of stats to get to know your supporters better. Is that something you're looking or maybe already have implemented at Dundalk? Because you'd think that type of system would work perfectly in Ireland because obviously it's a smaller population. The attendances at Dundalk are fantastic, but if you speak to a lot of people, they feel that it can grow even further considering the success that team has had and how passionate the supporters are for football up there. So is that something maybe you can use to your advantage now in the coming seasons?
That is the plan. I mean, there's a wonderful place at Dundalk. We've got a great side on the field. We got some. We get really good numbers through the gate, and we have, as you've already said, very passionate supporters. So the base is there. The club is a big player in the local community, and we need to work very hard now to build our fan base and the use of data, the use of stats. The way we're going to, I'm determined to see our ticketing systems and our retail systems improve dramatically so that it's much easier for fans to buy tickets, not only for themselves, but for members of their family, for friends that they want to bring along. And then we get to know the data of the people that they bring along with them. And then we get an opportunity to market directly to them. So we've got the product on the pitch. I'm sure you'll talk to me about facilities at Oriel Park. It's not something that hasn't shocked me since moving over to Ireland and seeing Oriel Park, and it's something that I have spoken with the board about. I do feel we need to put in place a long-term plan to improve the facilities at Oriel, both in the short and long term. And by that, I mean there are things I think that ought to be relatively simple to achieve. I appreciate I'm not a construction expert, but we've already started the ball rolling to see what can and can't be done at Oriel in its current guise. And then obviously I hope that there's the ambitions to improve it much further than that as well. But there's a lot of work has to go on before then. It's not just as simple as someone saying they want to do it. But I think the will is there, and I definitely understand that the better the facilities we have, coupled with the kind of team we've got and the football we play and the passion of the supporters, I can see I'd like to see our attendances, doubling, tripling as we go through the years. There's absolutely no reason why we can't be really, really ambitious about driving attendances. And, we want to work with the community to get the kids more involved and female supporters involved and families and young families coming to the ground. And to do that, we know we're going to have to make improvements across the board, both in the facilities and also the way we sell tickets and how easy we make it for people to come and interact with the club and engage with the club.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear you say, Mark, just about the small things that can be done at Oriel to improve it, because as the listeners here know, obviously I'm a huge regular at Oriel with my connection to the club there, and I've noticed the small little upgrades, and just aesthetically they make things look so much better. When you walk in now, the whole ground is tarmacked, as previously it was gravel and very, very messy on a wet night. Walk in, nice clean tarmac, walk in behind the goals. Everyone knows there was a massive puddle behind that goal for years. That's all concreted now. In the away end, new toilets gone in, which is a huge improvement. So there's little things that can be done, but I'm sure Dundalk supporters that are listening would like to hear at the same time maybe something more concrete going forward.
Yeah, there's so much space at Oriel. I mean, we've... there's an area that where the toilets have gone into now that we can't really do very much with other than keep tidy, because we need to keep that area free for emergency vehicles and broadcast partners. But around the other side of the ground, in fairness to the owners, they've invested heavily in the YDC, and we hope to be able to open that and move over into the YDC over the next 2 or 3 months or so, we hope. I'd like to look at how we can improve facilities behind the other goal, and also, there's too many open areas. The stadium is open to the elements, and if I was a dad or a mum and I wanted to bring my kids along and it looked anything like it was going to be a wet, windy, horrible evening, I'd have to think long and hard about bringing them to watch football at Oriel, however passionate I was, because there's every chance they're going to get soaked. So I'm sure there are further improvements that we can make. It's all going to be small incremental steps, but then obviously my job is to put in place a long-term plan and convince the owners to to buy into it, if you like. So there's a lot of work to be done, but we do have owners who are incredibly enthusiastic about the club, very supportive of what we're trying to achieve. I think that's been seen by the level of investment on the field. And I think, you know, coming from North America, they know the importance of good facilities for supporters, both current and if we're going to attract more supporters in the future. So I think there's some exciting times ahead. We'll make the small steps, hopefully as quickly as possible. And all I would ask is for a degree of patience as we put into place a realistic plan of what could be achieved in terms of making more major improvements at Oriel. But as I say, there's a lot of work to be done and consultation to go through before we get to that. But be assured, it is on the radar.
Yeah, just I think the final point from me is that you know, a couple of years ago, Dundalk played Rosenborg, I think, in the Champions League qualifiers. And it's sort of like a division there in Norway, a country there that maybe we could aspire to in Ireland. But you had a look at Oriel and then you compared it with the facilities and the ground. I know buzzwords, match day experience, and it's light year. It was almost light years away. And it's the same with a lot of the grounds. And, you know, the fact that we're having to play matches in Tala and at the Aviva in Europe, you know, could you see a situation where do you think you might have to move out of Oriel at some stage to actually, you know, make good our hopes in Europe for Dundalk?
I think the club have previously done some work and feasibility studies on moving away from Oriel. The sense, as I understand it, was the area at Oriel is the best place. It's near the train station. Mm-hmm. It's just outside town centre, because the only other options really would be to move, I guess, to a greenfield site. Mm-hmm. Where public transport wouldn't be quite so good. There'd be a lot of driving involved. And so I think the area at Oriel is probably the right site. It's what can be achieved there, because obviously there are some there's some real challenges. It's you know, everyone enters from one side of the stadium and has to move around. That's not always easy to work with and operate. So, you know, can we open it up at all? I'd like to think that there's a creative scheme out there that is both cost sensible and something that is realistic. What I don't want to do is to raise any false hopes that we're either going to completely rebuild Oriel or move from Oriel, because we're miles away from that. But there is an understanding that we need to improve facilities. And you use Rosenborg, and it's quite an interesting one. I think the Norwegian League and the League of Ireland, I think the League of Ireland is very comparable to Norwegian League and is better in terms of the playing standard. Then you look at Rosenborg Stadium and you look at ours. And in fairness, you look even, you know, it's miles better than Tala as yeah. well. You know, it's I think there's been a general malaise in the League of Ireland over the years. It's been starved of investment, cash from the centre. You know, I still find it hard to believe that clubs don't know what the TV deal is worth to them, what the sponsorship deal is worth to them. And so with the lack of funds coming from the centre, you know, clubs have existed on the goodwill of owners and volunteers. And that gets you so far. But what it gets you is, dare I say it, and I pick my words carefully, but it gets you sort of piecemeal stadiums that are very, you know, they're very nice and they mean a lot and they're very historic and they've got... They mean ever so much to people who've been coming to the club for years, but in this day and age, they're not really what football supporters are looking for. Not the, you know, the current generation and new generations. We need to be a lot smarter about technology inside stadia. There's so much that can be done, and unfortunately, I think the League of Ireland has just starved from a lack of cash over the years. It's been undersold, and I'm hoping that with all the changes that are afoot at the FAI, that there's going to be a real chance now for clubs to shape the future, bring more money into it, which hopefully will encourage further investment, not only in the players, but also in facilities.
We're going to let Mark go any second now, because when we got him on the line, we told him it wouldn't take more than 10 minutes and we've gone double over that. We could keep Mark on the phone all day here. But just final two points to make there, John, just when you referenced Rosenborg, I think the big difference there the Norwegian league, a lot of the stadiums are municipal stadiums. The government put in a lot, and local authorities put a lot of money in there. We don't really see that in the League of Ireland.
There's better prize money, obviously, as well.
As well, and TV deals. Yeah. But I think that's a slightly unfair comparison. And just on Mark's point there, in Oriel, I think Oriel is most certainly in the right place. There's huge footfall to the stadium when you're walking up there on match day. It's a great buzz. And we see it ourselves at Longford. I think most people would agree the Longford Stadium is absolutely fantastic, but it's too far outside the town. You cannot walk to it. There can be a lack of atmosphere as a result of that. So I think going forward, Oriel's in the place it should be, but hopefully we'll see some movement on that. And Mark, before you go, just while we're touching on Longford there, I believe you have a family connection to the town.
I do, yes. My father's from Longford, and so I've got a huge raft of family down in Longford. Some of them have spread out to Athlone and Galway and up in Dublin. So, Devlin's a pretty common name in Ireland. And, yeah. But Longford is the seat of the family home, if you like. So yes, I've got some roots in Longford.
Excellent stuff. Well, hopefully Longford will get promoted this season, and we can all have a big family reunion for the Devlins in Oriel next season.
I look forward to that. That would be good.
Mark, absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thanks very much for taking time out to speak to us, and best wishes to Dundalk in Europe. It's not far away now, so we're all looking forward to that.
You're very welcome, and thanks for that, and good to speak to you.
Thanks, Mark.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So still to come, John, we're going to hear from the Drogheda United manager, Tim Clancy, and we'll also hear from Gary Parsons' Tales from the East End podcast. But what about that for an interview to kick off a show?
Well, that's worth your subscription money alone, folks, which I know...
They don't pay.
Exactly.
They should do for that.
No, that was super. And, I asked the questions. Is there a likelihood of moving out of Oriel? They're very keen not to do that. But my thoughts on Oriel are the same. What's the covenants around the land? Is there chances of development? So I think obviously Mark's investigating that. He's looking at all possibilities with Oriel. It's a blank sheet. There's nothing off the table.
I was very interested. I was actually very interested by the stuff about data around supporters. That's something we've not really heard of in this league before. That could be something very interesting for a club in terms of marketing. But what Mark said about how open Oriel is and maybe looking to do things behind the goals, that excites me, because I could picture a little stand behind that town end goal and maybe becoming the new shed of sorts. The atmosphere then would be fantastic. Everyone right on top of the pitch. I'm thinking of special European nights if they could get it up to that grade. It'd be fantastic. But obviously, I think any of our listeners that are of Dundalk camp or anyone that goes into the away in Oriel will probably want to hear something a little bit more than that. But look, we've got a starting point to build off here. It's going to start a discussion again, I'm sure, around the town of Dundalk. But a brilliant interview from Mark Devon.
Yeah, super. And it was great that I could mention that playoff final as well. So I'm sure he appreciated that.
That'll keep you going for the evening, John.
Exactly.
But look, as I said, we're a little bit tight on time tonight, personal circumstances. So we're going to kick straight into our Premier Division review. And as I said, Tim Clancy and Gary Parsons still to come on the show. Let's start with Dundalk. Comprehensive 3-0 win in Ballybuffet. Again, Hearts defending was woeful.
Yeah, I don't think we could do anything but predict a Dundalk win last week, Kieran, between us, and sure it came to pass, because we know that Harps' defending has been really poor this season. And, that apart from that game where they scored five, they've been pretty toothless up front as well. So there wasn't too much in their favour.
You mean the game where they scored three and conceded five?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, sorry, that's right. The warning shots were there from the start. Duffy switching flanks, and his cross from the right, and Huben, he headed straight at the goalkeeper when it was probably just as easy to score with that one. But, the goal, it didn't take too long for the first to come, and it was John Mountney cross. He's playing very well at the moment. He's making the most of a run in that first team. To an unmarked Duffy who headed on. We know he's good in the air. Why leave him unmarked?
1-0. Unbelievable. Oh, how he was so free in the area, I'll never know.
Yeah, then a lovely header goal from John Mountney from a cross from Paddy McElhaney to make it 2-0.
I think three header goals in this game, wasn't it?
Yes, of course, because Gatland, non-existent
marking for all of them. So, as I said to you on the show last week, this Dundalk team showing an ability to play that little bit more direct when they see the opportunity. That if they do see a cross into the box or a ball in behind the channel, they will play it. And I like that about this Dundalk team. I think that's why we're seeing so many goals in recent weeks.
Yeah. Well, such naivety, though, from Harps' defence.
Oh, unbelievable.
Kieran, Ollie Hogan, surely, before that match started, said, right, corners, free kicks. Watch Gatland. No, defending them, Kieran.
Okay, let's not. Okay. No scoring goals, you know, just defending them.
It's they get a lot of goals from
John,
it.
They shouldn't need Gatland, to be told. They
exactly,
shouldn't need to be told.
Exactly. But that's exactly what happened. And that, from a Flores corner, who seems to be,
starting to creep into that side.
3-0. Before that, Rodgers had a save to make from Coyle at the near post. And to be honest, it could have been 4 because Duffy, his header was well saved by the goalkeeper. What else to tell you about the match? Rodgers save from a Jacob Borg driver. And Mikey Place, he missed a great chance, actually. And Daniel O'Reilly had a shot tipped over. That really was as good as it got for Harps. They didn't offer too much. Could have been 4. Georgie Kelly hit the bar before the final whistle. Finish 3-0. It's pretty comprehensive, Kieran.
Yeah, I suppose from a Harps point of view, these aren't the games they're going to be judged on. It'll be the games against UCD. But if they defend like that against anybody in this division, there's only one place Harps are going, and that's down. As for Dundalk, great statement of intent to go away to a difficult ground and win so comprehensively. Shamrock Rovers 2, Derry City 2. John, we did the Between the Stripes TV League of Ireland review show the other night on YouTube, and we spoke about this possibly being a pivotal moment in the title race. Do you think Rovers have blown it?
I don't, because there's still a lot to go in this title race, Kieran. And you know, if Rovers were to beat Bows there and then follow it up with a victory against Dundalk, it's right back open
big
again.
Big ask, isn't it?
It is a big ask, but you know, Rovers have had some good wins this season, so you know, you wouldn't put it you certainly wouldn't put it past them again.
They
especially
haven't
against
beaten Bows, they haven't
I know,
beaten Dundalk.
It's a weakened Bows.
And they've slipped up here against a Derry side who traditionally have been awful in Tala.
Yeah, well, that's true. But like I said in the League of Ireland review show with you, Kieran, Derry are made of stronger stuff these days, especially away from home. Because this game, they went 2-0 down. And, you know, you'd have expected previous season an absolute capitulation from Derry. That could have finished 5-0 a season
last
or two
season
ago.
It would have, yeah.
Yeah. But not this time. And, you know, it was great to see Derry get back into it from a Derry perspective with Kieran Cole heading home to make it 2-1. And then... And then the equaliser from Junior from a parried effort to make it 2-2.
Just on Junior, obviously had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. He was one of my favourite interviews of the season so far. And even watching him, he just looks like a real flair player, real exciting to watch. He's one of my favourite new players that have come into the league. And Derry fans will be delighted to hear that he's going to stay now for the remainder of the season. The two clubs, Derry and Colchester, have trashed out a deal. Colchester have extended his contract, so he will be back there next year. But for the remainder of the season, he is a candy stripe, and that's a huge boost to Declan Devine.
It's win-win for Colchester, because obviously he wasn't getting much in the way of game time there, and he's actually...
playing games, scoring goals.
And getting confidence
at a high level.
He wants to stay there and do his best for the season, hopefully push Derry onto a European place this season. And, you know, he's going about things the right way. He's looking a real find, and... You know, you just wonder if Derry could maybe keep him there on a more permanent basis. Yeah. But I have to say, Rovers, this game showed to me the issues with the finishing.
Yes.
Because although they were 2-0 up, a lot of chances and...
Aaron Green missed one big one in particular. Mistake at the back. He's one-on-one with the goalkeeper. He just takes a second too long to pull the shot. And a Derry defender does absolutely superbly to get in with a slight
tackle. And the one where Carr squared it for him as well. He couldn't hit the target. You know, it looked... He should have scored, Kieran. And I'm afraid, you know, we're going to be talking to...
Gary Parsons
later. And, you know, I'll be talking to him about Green. Because for all his set-up play, for me... he just misses too many chances.
He misses,
Kieran,
big chances.
And I'm afraid if you're looking to win the league, you have to have a striker who knows where the goal is. And I don't think Green's that man.
Yeah, I go back to that situation. He's one-on-one. You have to have ice running through your veins in that situation. Look up. Ignore the pressures that are coming in around your defenders, goalkeepers. Pick your spot. Put your head down. Put your foot through the ball. Put it in the bottom corner. It sounds easy. But Patrick Hooban makes it look easy.
Yeah.
The teams that win leagues, their top strikers make it look easy. So that's what Rovers are missing, as you said. Very hard to find these players in the transfer market. But if they're going to win it, they're going to have to find somebody
I just think it's going to be their Achilles heel this season. And it's the difference between a team finishing first and second. I have to say, I've been... continue to be impressed with Trevor Clark. I think he's an excellent player, a real good attacking threat. You know, I thought he played
beautiful
well.
Strike.
Yeah, great strike. I think it was deflected, Kieran. But
I don't think it was. I know the Soccer Republic commentator said that it was. I thought it was. He just put the whip on the ball and it's bent in that way.
And Jack Byrne continues to have an outstanding season. He's run and shot for the goal to make it
2-0. Showed good strength.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's... I don't know. I think you've summed it up, really.
Yeah. We've said that there are about two excellent individual players and there's quality all over the pitch for Rovers and they're scoring great goals, but they're not scoring the big chances that they should be putting away to kill off games, and that's been their Achilles heel. And for me, and I think you agree, that's what's going to cost them the title this season.
Yeah. There was a shout for penalty, but it looked a clear dive to me at the end from Boyle. I don't know if you saw that on the highlights.
Yeah, I think the ref was in straight away with the yellow card, so no doubt about that one. Look, we'll move on. Sligo 1, Pats 1. As we said on the BTS TV League of Ireland review show, if there was ever going to be a draw, it was going to be this game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, Kieran. And you know, it could have been a different story. Pats hit the crossbar early on, and I thought Gary Shaw looked very lively on this one.
Yeah, they seemed to play very direct towards him, and that suited him.
Yeah. Well, that's probably his game, really, isn't it? It's, you know, you've got a tall striker like that. You might as well take advantage of it. And, you know, he hit the bar as well from a shot from just outside the box. So they had the chances, Pats. I can maybe think they're a little bit unlucky
in this one.
I didn't
think they created enough.
You didn't?
No.
No. Well, I thought first half especially they were the dominant force of the two teams. Sligo came back into it just before half time. Parks had a chance. In the second half, I thought Sligo improved.
Just going back to Parks, yeah. I was speaking to a Sligo fan the other day and he said, we're all seeing the clips of Parks, you know, beating a couple of men and putting the ball in the bottom corner. He said, what you're not seeing is the amount of chances he misses every game, that he puts so many, a good 10 yards wide every week. And we've seen that this time around. He got in twice on goal after really good aggressive runs, but he blazed the shots horribly wide. So he's been a very good addition for Sligo, but if he can sharpen up that finishing, he could be even better.
Pat should have gone one up when Mikey Drennan, well, it's got to be the miss of the season so far. I don't know how he missed it.
I'm not sure what's going on with Drennan. It just seems to be a dip in confidence. I think it's 8 or 9 games without a goal. That was a horrendous miss against his former club as well. So
yeah. The Sligo goal, the free kick, it was almost bizarre the way he dribbled in.
Freak goal, yeah.
Yeah, a bit of a freak goal. Dribbled in, it was bizarre. But the equaliser came from Toner after Abaddon cross and Shaw hit the bar. So you could say on the whole, Pats definitely deserved the equaliser and 1-1.
Don't think you're giving Toner enough credit for his finish. I thought that was a good finish, superb bit of technique from a centre half. And as I said, when we were doing the review show, we're doing it straight after the full time whistle, so we always don't have the full reports coming in. We've seen Toner's name on the score sheet. We said most likely a set piece. So a great bit of skill from Toner. I thought a draw probably was a fair result. I know Pats have conceded a freak goal, so defensively, otherwise they were quite solid, but for me, they didn't create enough, and that's been the problem for Pats and Sligo all season. Moving into the First Division review, John, Bray Wanderers let themselves down in a big game once again. Shelburne 1-0 winners, a superb free kick from Cal Moore, the difference in this game.
Yep, Cal Moore, first half goal, has settled this one. Shells, they're getting good at grinding out these 1-0s, aren't they?
But we're saying it every week at this stage now.
Yeah.
Not overly impressive, but doing enough to win. Bray really didn't create anything of note. I think maybe one late run from McGlade where he gets a dribbler of a shot away. Bar that, they've created absolutely nothing.
They're going nowhere, are they, Bray?
They're going nowhere and they're fast. This game against Longford on Friday, they're going to have to win that to put down some type of marker in terms of showing that they can win the big games against head-to-head rivals, because this is twice Shells now have beaten them while playing below their best. Longford beat them very easily down in Longford. They're slipping up in the games against the likes of Wexford's and Athlone's. It's not the right formula for a team that wants to be promoted. And when you see the likes of Paul Keegan having an off day in midfield, you just know something's not right there. I think Gary Cronin needs to ring the changes, maybe look to do something in the transfer market. But they've invested heavily already, so will there be more to spend for Gary? We're not so sure. I think it's been a very poor season for Bray so far.
Yeah, and a lot was expected. Certainly a lot more than where they are currently. And
just on a positive note, a very, very healthy attendance there for the Saturday 3 p.m. game. So that was great to see. But again, Bray, no, they haven't been out of this season.
I like a Saturday 3 p.m. kickoff. Yeah. We were just saying that's the kind of game that we could see going down from Longford on the train, making a day of it. It'd be brilliant. But you know, what do we know, Kieran?
Speaking of Longford, 1-0 winners over Wexford. quite wild scene sent this on, wasn't there?
Yeah, and boy, did they leave this one late. Sub Jamie Doyle, 90th minute winner. On the scheme of things, the whole balance of the game, Longford deserved winners, I thought.
Had to feel sorry for Wexford, though, didn't you?
Yeah, a little. A little. It was
very well organised, Wexford. We've spoken about them in recent weeks on the show, how much they've come on from last season where they were getting beaten 6-7 in these games. Really well organised. They were missing Furlong the other night, and Doherty was very impressive for Wexford, and you could just see he was missing that target man to play off. If Furlong was there, you just wondered if Wexford could have made it even more difficult for Longford.
Longford missing a bit of creativity, though, and it wasn't until the introduction of Hopkins and Jamie Doyle we saw some real more attacking threat from Longford. They'd had half chances.
They're missing a player like Doherty, aren't they? A little number 10 to get that creative
cheeky. To be fair, he had a good game. And to be honest, if Danny Furlong had been starting that game, that result could have been very different.
Most definitely. But Doyle coming off the bench with 10 minutes to go, I think we have to speak. We probably could wait till the preview, but we'll touch on it now while we're speaking of Jamie Doyle. Aaron Dobbs is totally out of form at the moment.
Yeah.
Supporters getting on his back. They were crying out. Good 10 minutes into that second half, they were looking for Doyle to come on.
Yep.
And now Doyle hasn't had a lot of game time. Some people say he's not prolific. So for there to be such an outcry for Dobbs to be replaced in the team, it shows how out of form he is at the moment.
Yeah, and out of confidence.
Do you think Doyle can be the man to replace him, or do Longford have to look to the transfer market?
I think they have to give Jamie Doyle a go, because, I mean, he's a big target man. He's a real big lad.
I didn't realise that until I interviewed him after the game. I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah. I got a photo of my daughter and I struggled to get the two in. But I think he's a big target man, but he's... You look at when Dobbs came on with 10 minutes to go. Dobbs went off. And he had two or three good chances.
He had two cleared off the line. He could have had a hat-trick in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We're not saying he's going to do that every week. But when you play the ball into his feet, you know it's going to stick. That's not happening with Dobbs. When the ball goes up in the air, you know he has a very, very good chance of getting a flick on or doing something with it. That's not happening with Dobbs at the moment. And Dobbs had a glorious chance to score before he went off. He scuffs it with the bottom of his studs, and when you see that happening, that's the sign of a striker that's really out of confidence. Doyle comes on, tucks away his chance brilliantly. Yeah. I think Doyle has to start against Bray. I think he has to get a chance.
He's done everything he can, and I'd be very surprised if he doesn't start against Bray, and very disappointed if he doesn't.
We'll talk about it more in the preview show, because I have a few more feelings on that, but we'll move along to the next fixture. Limerick 2, Galway 1. Limerick were behind in this game. Very small attendance with everything that's going on there. So for Limerick to dig this out yet again, unbelievable character, and I'm going to put it on record now. For me, no matter what happens from here on in, Tommy Barrett, manager of the season.
Well, he's done great in exceptionally difficult circumstances.
You wouldn't wish the circumstances he's working on your worst enemy.
I don't think we know the full story neither, do we, Kieran? Obviously, he's getting these players out. He's getting them playing. He's getting them motivated despite all the issues with wages. So he's doing a fantastic job. And
so many rumours floating around there as well online about underage players maybe coming in to replace senior pros. It can't be helping the atmosphere in that dressing room. No. So for them to be doing what they're doing, to still be in with a shot promotion, unbelievable credit has to go to the players and to the manager.
It would be a crying shame if that did happen, because that group of players has performed really well this season. To think where they are and to be where they are in the table. Absolute credit to Barrett and the team as well, Kieran.
As for Galway, again, they were ahead in this one. Shane Doherty, who scored against Longford on the bank holiday Monday, he's got another goal to his name. But Joe Scully spoke to their manager, Alan Murphy, after the game for Between the Stripes TV on YouTube. Give it a subscription and you can see that. But he was very angry with their second half performance. He felt in the first half they played some of their best football all season. Second half, they just, as he said, didn't pass the ball, didn't keep it, and let a good Limerick team back in. So, look, that's what happens with young players, Project DNA and all. We'll move along to the next one, John. Cabo 2, Cove 2. So, Cabo, this winning winless streak is starting to go on a little bit longer than they would have liked. Are they out of the title race, or is that too early to say? Is it a three-horse race at the top now between Longford, Shells and Drogheda?
Yeah, it's looking a bit that way, because Cabo, for the fantastic start they had, they've just really, the last few weeks, lost their way, Kieran. And, you know, it's a young, inexperienced side, and it's very hard, I think, for teams. When you get into that kind of losing habit and not winning, you know, you want a couple of really big names to step up and pull them out of it. Now, we know that Kieran Marty Waters down there, but it is a very, very inexperienced side, and it is tough when you go into those kind of when you get into that kind of rut. So we both fancied Cove to win this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was no surprise when they found themselves 2-1 up, Taylor and Kabaya.
Two players that would be on many shopping lists, I feel.
Yeah, yeah. Manley with one, and then another Watson. Another one that would be. Yeah.
And even Watson, I've seen him a few times this season. I've seen him with his previous clubs as well. I think he's the potential to be a very good midfielder in this first division.
Having said all that, they've Athlone away next season, next match. So I think they might win that. But if they don't, then the alarm bells will certainly be ringing.
Moving along, Drogheda 4, Athlone 2. On last week's show, you said, oh, I fancy Drogheda. This will be one of them mad ones. It'll probably end up 5-2. So unlucky, John. But a 4-2 win for Drogheda. We'll be hearing from their manager, Tim Clancy, any moment now. But I think he'll be frustrated. They were in a very, very comfortable position in this game, 3-0 up. And they let Athlone back into it. Eventually, they do run out winners. But when you're chasing titles and chasing promotion, you want to kill these games off as quickly and easily as you can.
Yeah, well, 3-0 at halftime. We thought that was it. Curtains, it's going to finish 6-0. And Athlone are going to have another nightmare. But credit to them, because, I mean, again, there's a mix of what I would call League of Ireland journeymen in there and mixed with some youngsters. And to pull it back to 3-2 away to Drogheda was no mean feat. And, you know, they just lost with that James Clark goal at the end. But 4-2, decent improving performance from Athlone. But at the end of the day, they're still shipped four.
Yeah, look, we're saying it every week in this first division. No easy games, no whipping boys. It's ultra competitive. It's fantastic. John, Drogheda United, genuine title contenders or not? Yes or no?
I don't think you can count them out, Kieran. So I'm going to have to say yes, because they're scoring goals for fun.
Yeah.
You know,
they've scored, as I pointed out in my interview with Tim, which you'll hear in a moment now, they've scored 11 more than Shelburne, who are the next closest in terms of goals scored. That is incredible.
They love a goal. It's just a shame it's so expensive to go watch the football there, or else, you know, I'm sure they'd have massive crowds at the moment. But they're doing really, really well and surpassing all expectations.
Probably conceding a few more than they would like, and again, conceding two in a game here where they were totally dominant. Something they need to just iron out in the next few weeks. But you have to remember, they've gone through this excellent run of results. They've won their last five without Mark Doyle, who was on fire at the start of the season. He suffered a broken hand and he's been out, but he should be back after the break. So when he comes back into that team, Doyle and Lyons, best partnership potentially in the league. Now, I know Doyle has been playing out wide left where a lot of his goals have come from, but those two are main goal contributors for that team. I think you're right. I don't think you can rule Drogheda out.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because when we saw them at Longford, we said they were hopeless, horrendous, you know. But that just goes to show what I've said before about the inconsistencies of teams in this league, you know.
Yeah. So we're going to go and hear from their manager now. Tim Clancy joins us once again on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. So I'm delighted to say we're joined on this week's show by the Drogheda United manager, Tim Clancy. Tim, you're welcome to the show.
Good to be back on, Kieran.
So, Tim, I have to say, well done on your recent form. 5 wins in a row for Drogheda United now. The top scorers in the division by a country mile. You're 11 goals ahead of your nearest rivals in terms of goal scored, and that's Shelburne, who, of course, you play at Tolka Park this Friday night. It's a huge game now in terms of the title race, isn't it?
We're still looking, we keep saying this as well, like we're looking at the gap between ourselves and fifth as opposed to ourselves in the top. A realistic ambition at the start of the season was to try and get into the playoffs again, and that's still the main aim for us come the end of the year. So we're more keeping an eye on what fifth place points tally is compared to ours as opposed to what top is. Listen, we're in a good run of form and we're close enough to the top now, and it makes Friday's game a little bit more important, I suppose, for both sides, but certainly one that should be a good game.
With it being obviously the final game before the break as well, is it very important to try and keep momentum going?
Yeah. Well, last year we had a bit of a poor form going into the break, to be honest. I think we drew with Shelves, we lost to Longford and we lost to UCD in that week. So we're on a bit better form this year. So if we can get another positive result Friday and go into the break and listen, the lads will get a well-deserved break. They need the week off, considering the numbers were down at the minute and everyone in the squad stepping up and we're grinding out results. So they'll certainly be looking forward to a week off.
Yeah, and one player who's obviously stepped up is Chris Lyons, the only First Division player nominated for the Player of the Month award. So that's obviously recognition of his incredible few weeks. Have you been surprised by his form?
No, not really. Listen, Chris is pivotal to what we do and the way we play. A lot of the good stuff comes through Chris, and I keep saying it to him, and he knows it himself. I don't base Chris's game game on goals. I don't base it solely on goals and how well he does. It's more important to us than just scoring goals. But in the last month or so, I think he scored 3 out of the last 4 games, and he's scored 6 goals in them 4 games. So, yeah, listen, he's doing really well, and he's probably just getting a bit of luck in front of goal they maybe didn't get earlier on in the season. But again, it's been a stop-start season for Chris. Missed him for a few weeks with a hamstring injury, and we missed him for a few weeks with concussion as well. So he's probably only played in the 16-odd games. He's probably only played maybe 10-11 games. So his goal tally has been very impressive this season, and we're hoping he can add to it in the coming months.
And very much like last season, there's a real spread of goals in that Drogheda team. The likes of Sean Brennan have chipped in quite a bit recently, and you've had a number of goal scorers across all areas of the field. So again, that's a real positive you've had this season.
Yeah, again, it's something we looked at the start of the season, and I know people were actually saying, a couple of people doing predictions for the first division just said they don't know where we're going to get goals from. So a few people have said it to me at the start of the season. But again, listen, Mark Doyle's chipped in with 8 goals from play from wide left. He's one that flies under the radar, to be honest. Nobody ever seems to talk about him. I don't think the opposition players would really talk about him. But listen, he's been out for the last 3 weeks, and that's what Chrissy stepped up, and Stephen Meaney's come in and got 5 or 6 goals as well from play. So listen, we've got goals from all over the pitch. But when you're missing players like Doyler, who's to be honest with you, he's the first one you put down on the team sheet, and he's been out, so it's really pleasing other lads have stepped up. And as you said there, Sean will chip in with goals from midfield, but Jake Hyland scored a winner down at Wexford from midfield as well. So and with James Clark, who's doing an even third at the minute, and Luke McNally, who's only out of under 19s football, and Luke Heaney, and they've chipped in with goals as well. So it's a good spread in squad.
Yeah, and it's a very young side, I suppose, like many of the sides in the First Division. And obviously, I think it's fair to say Drogheda wouldn't have the resources of some of the other sides in the division with some of their more experienced names. But are we maybe likely to see some names and some fresh faces coming in during the season break?
We'll probably try to get one or two in, but they won't be of calibre to people who will recognise the names or whatever else. I think if you're going to be signing someone from the Premier Division at the minute, it's to come down and play in the First Division. It's because they're not playing in the Premier Division. So if they've not played this season, that means they have gone through the whole of the off season as well, just four odd months. So you could be getting a player down to make a difference here that maybe hasn't played regular in 10 months of football, to be honest. So it's a balancing act. I know on paper it sounds great getting the experienced players in, but it's probably just as important to have someone that's really hungry to play and wants to prove themselves. So we might be looking to get maybe one or two in, and it could be lads that'll be their first time really getting first team experience. I want to come in and hit the ground running and try and impress. And that's probably where we'll be looking at, but we'll certainly want to add one or two to the squad.
And finally, Tim, before we go, obviously a great away form this season for Drogheda. Only Cabinteely at the moment have a better record, and that's by a single point. You've won, I think I'm correct in saying, 5 of your 8 games on the road. So what do you put that good form down to?
I think, listen, we've a bit more comfortable on away from home in regards to teams go and have a proper go with us. And listen, I think everyone knows that United Park is quite a tight pitch, and if a team goes there to sort of shut up shop and try and defend, it's a lot harder to break down. But listen, whenever we've played Shells and Tolkien in the last 2 years, it seems to be a better game of football, to be honest. All the games seem to be very scrappy against them, and we're hoping that a little bit of rain maybe on Friday night we'll get the pitch wet, and it'll be conducive to good passing football and attacking play. And if it's a game like that, I'm sure that we could probably try and add to the goals. But listen, we know that they've conceded very few goals in the last few months, so it's going to be very difficult. And obviously, listen, we'll be looking at Longford Bray game, and it's probably a weird thing to say it, though, we're probably looking for the gap between ourselves and fifth to probably grow more. So I know people might think that we want to try and see the teams above us lose, but anyone's dropping points, we'd rather be the teams behind us, because we want to stay in the hunt for the playoffs.
Yeah, and having been at Tolka Park quite a bit recently, the pitch is in fantastic condition there, and as you're saying, there's been a bit of rain around, so hopefully the surface will be nice and slick, and maybe we might see a repeat of those crazy playoff games from the end of last year.
Yeah, well, hopefully there's no injuries and there's no sending off. So but no, yeah, it was a mad game that day, and with Michelle, there's very little between the teams that we played. If you're taking the League Cup game out, which both teams played, the very young side, I think we played six games, I think. And we've won two, they won one, and we've drawn the other three, so there's very little in it.
And just before
I imagine Friday's going to be the same.
And just before you go, Tim, what's your own status for the weekend? Are you back available on the touchline?
Yeah, I'm back. The three games done and dusted now, so I'll be back in the dugout for the game. And Owen's back in after his three games as well. So, listen, it is what it is. I'll try my best not to get cops sent off again. But we'll see how it goes.
Tim, been an absolute pleasure. Best of luck for the weekend, and thanks very much for joining us.
No, but I thought mine came. Speak to you soon.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So off the back of that brilliant interview with Tim Clancy, we'll jump straight into the First Division previews. John, as always, it's time for the St. Mel's Brewing prediction game here on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Myself and John attempt to predict the weekend's fixtures across both divisions, and whoever has the most correct game weeks at the end of the season wins a lovely crate of St. Mel's beer. So check out our sponsor St. Mel's Brewing on stmelsbrewing.com. Check them out on Facebook and Twitter, and you can pick up a lovely bottle of their craft beers in the likes of Dunn stores and all good off licenses, and as ever, always drink responsibly. Athlone against Cabo.
Well, both teams on a sticky run at the moment, aren't they? But I think this is the one where Cabo bounce back, and I think they'll beat Athlone.
Go for a draw on this one.
Yeah.
Can't really put my finger on why Cabotini have hit this patch. Because as you said, we've always associated them with being quite solid defensively, but to concede two goals at home against Cove, on the other side of that then 0-0 against Galway the week before, so they're having issues at different times at both ends of the field. That's not a good combination. At Lone, obviously results very poor recently, but as we said, they're competitive. I think they'll dig in and try and get something from this one. I'm going to say a draw.
Okay, fair enough. Next match.
Next one is Bray against Longford Town at the Carlisle Grounds. This is a huge game in the terms of the First Division.
Longford Town wiped the floor with Bray earlier in the season. It was one of the most inept performances, I think, from a team I've seen at City Calling Stadium. They can't be as bad, surely, with this one. I think Mr. McGlade will have a point to prove.
Will he start?
Well, he hasn't been starting,
no,
has he?
No.
Will Cronin throw him in against his former club? I think he'll start. I do think he'll start, but I think hopefully Longford will keep him quiet. I'm going to go for a Longford win.
Okay, I know you're tight on time, John, so just final point I'm going to make on this game. You think McGlade will start. Will Jamie Doyle start? And will A. Dervin start for Longford Town after being substituted at the weekend?
Yeah, he wasn't happy, was he, to go off. And A. Dervin, obviously one of the league's brightest young talents, but showed a bit of petulance, I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of unfair commentary on this from some Town supporters who should probably know better, blowing the situation up a little bit online, saying that the two clearly don't get on. That's rubbish. I've interviewed both of them. I've asked both of them about each other, working with each other. They love working with each other, so I'm sure that situation was diffused.
He's
very easily.
He's frustrated. He was back on at the end of the match anyway.
You know,
I don't expect it to be a big deal, and I fully expect him to start this one.
Okay, and Doyle?
Doyle, I would be very disappointed if he didn't start it.
I'd have to agree.
I think I was the voice calling for him to come on, and I know fans shouldn't as such, but to me, he just changed the game, Kieran.
Yeah, to be honest, I think Dobbs will start. I think Fenn has great faith in Dobbs, and we've said that on the show previously, but like you, I would like to see Doyle get the shout.
Will that be his undoing? Just like we were saying about Aaron Green with Rovers, you know, same type of thing, isn't it?
Oh, I definitely think Longford need to address it in the transfer market, but look, we can't spend any more time on that game. You're going for...
A Longford win.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen enough from Bray this season to think they can do it. Could very well prove both of us wrong, but I'm going to go with a Longford win. We'll move on to the next fixture, which is Cove against Galway.
I'm going to go for a Cove win. I think Galway are inconsistent, but they've really underperformed this season as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. They're in that bottom group of four or five teams, which at this stage have no hope really of the playoffs.
Could someone like Vinnie Fattery be the difference in this sort of game though?
Yeah, but I'm just looking at Cove. You know, they have a couple of really good players that's obviously Now, whether or not Cove are going to be able to hold on to them is another matter. Yeah. You know, we're talking about...
Hendo's admitted that himself on this show.
Money tight down there, but...
They're going to have to cut the budget now.
While they've still got them down there, yeah, they'll beat Galway.
I just think someone like Fattery, we've mentioned it a few times, and Hendo again himself has held his hands up and said the pitch down there isn't good enough. They can't just play the style of football they want. So a more direct style might suit a team like Galway, a big target man like Fattery to play off.
Can't argue with that.
I'm going to call this a draw.
Okay. Next one.
Next one is Shells against Drogheda. Probably the game of the weekend in the first division.
Yeah, so it's Drogheda involved. There's going to be goals here, Kieran, but who's going to score most of them? I think it will be Shelburne.
I'm going Drogheda.
Are you?
Just the way they're scoring goals at the moment is incredible.
Well, a Drogheda win over Shells would really turn the table.
Oh, they blow everything over. The game in the Carlisle, waiting to see the result of that. We've spoken about maybe Cabo losing ground in recent weeks. If those two games were to go in Cabo's favour and they get a win in that loan, it's a great division this year. I'm loving it.
It's been super.
Wexford against Limerick is the final game in the first division this weekend.
Yeah, and I feel a little bit sorry for Wexford because they've performed in a lot of matches, not quite just got what they deserved, I don't think.
Will they get their award this weekend?
I don't think so, neither. No. I think it's going to be close again. And I just think...
Can't see more than a goal in this.
Yeah, they just lack a little bit of nous or something about them that's just not getting them the results. So I think Limerick will win it, but it'll be tight again.
I'm going for a Wexford win. I think if Furlong is back in the team, they've performed well the last few weeks. I think Doherty and Furlong can do something against that Limerick back four.
Perfect.
Into the Premier Division, we're going to go to Pats against Harps to open our predictions.
Well, look, Harps are down there for a reason. You know, the defence is awful.
Pats not exactly prolific,
goals.
Though.
No, but they'll have way too much for Harps. Home win.
Away win.
What?
Yeah, I'm going crazy this week. Just don't think things are right at Pats at the moment. Haven't been impressed by them.
Don't worry, guys. We have the drug testers in this week, so we'll get him checked out on the way out. But
I think it's just because we're rushing through them so much. I'm just throwing out whatever comes to mind. But no, as I said, I just think Pats, Drennan's not scoring goals. They're playing balls up to Shaw, and the midfield there isn't exactly lighting up the division. We all expected the likes of Forrester to score goals this season. He's not doing it. From recent weeks, we've seen Toner and Madden chip in with goals, so the defenders are having to make up for the lack of goals elsewhere. As for Harps, we know they're dangerous from set pieces. They didn't show that against Dundalk, but I think they could just throw a spanner in the works here before the break. I'm going to go with a Harps win.
Okay, Sligo against Cork.
0-0 draw.
I've gone for a draw as well, Kieran. I can't see too much. Sligo are a bit draw specialists, aren't they, at the moment?
Yeah,
I think 6 or 7 this season.
Get your money on the draw.
Yeah, draw for me. And the last one before our interview there, it is Bows against Rovers, the big one.
Yeah,
Kieran.
We'll preview this in depth with Gary Parsons.
Yeah, the ground's going to be bouncing. I can't wait for the atmosphere in this one. It's always good.
It's live on television as well. Obviously, I'm actually away for the weekend, so I won't get viewing that. But... look, we'll just put one word on it and we'll go into our interview with Gary Parsons. Is this the game that Rovers finally get over that hoodoo?
Away win.
Ooh, big call. Going to go away win as well. We're probably falling through that trap door again. But
Bose fans, you'll be delighted as always. Yeah, you know what happens when me and Kieran predict Bose to lose? You're bound to win.
Yeah, they'll be on the beer tonight in Daily Mount. It's in the bag. We predicted it against Bose. So
you can thank us later, fans.
But look, let's round the show up. It's been a brilliant show. And John, I know you're tight on time this week, so really appreciate it. And to all of our guests, here's our final interview of the night. It's Tales from the East Stand podcast host Gary Parsons to talk about that huge Dublin derby on Friday night. So Gary Parsons from the Tales from the East Stand podcast joins us now, the Shamrock Rovers podcast. Make sure you check it out on all the usual podcast platforms. I'm really having a shocker tonight with my words, but Gary, thanks for joining us.
No problem, lads. Fair play for having me.
Big one coming up again this week, Gary. Me and John have just finished our Facebook Live intro, and we said we've fallen into this trap so many times before. Rovers on paper, surely they can't lose this Dublin derby, but we know how it goes. What's the feeling in the camp?
That's right, Kieran. The thing is, I just want a good game of ball. I just want a fair game of ball. Just give me 11v11. I mean, is it that hard to? Is it that much to ask to have a fair game of football and a decent referee this time around? And it might sound like sour grapes, but it's been really frustrating the last two games. I mean, the first one, 60 minutes with 10 minutes, and then the rest of the game in Tala with 9 men. So, I'm not even sure how I feel about coming into this, because the games have been so erratic over the last while. I just really don't know what to expect. I just, like I said, give me 11 v 11 and 90 minutes of football, and then we'll see what happens from there. And I think we have the quality to beat them this time. And if you look at the odds, I mean, the bookies, they're not wrong that often. 3-1 at home for Bowes, it's a big price. So we are the favourites going into it.
So many injuries for Bowes as well. Denny Corcoran out. Their entire back four is in doubt for this game. So surely if Rovers are going to have ambitions of winning the title, they need to get over this hoodoo, and they need to get over it now.
Yeah, big time. And see, the thing is, I wouldn't even know if that's the truth as regarding injuries. We'll see the lineup on the night. You wouldn't know what type of propaganda is coming out of Dublin 7. But I genuinely think that we can beat them if we just get the ball down and stick to our game plan. And like I said, if we keep 11 men on the pitch. I think a big player for us is going to be Jack Bourne on the night. I think he's a step ahead of most players in the league. And if he can control the game, there'll be no stopping him on Friday. Personally, that's a way for him. He was great against Derry. He scored a cracker of a goal. I just think they won't be able to cope with him if he gets going. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I mean, got tickets are like Goldust as well. It's the first time in years that I've struggled to get my hands on tickets for friends and family and things like that. So it's the hottest ticket in town on Friday anyway.
Well, that's what we want to see. That's great news. But just going back to decisions, look, we all know Rovers have been unlucky with certain instances in the past in this game, but we've spoken a lot over the last year and a half about a lack of discipline on the pitch at times from Shamrock Rovers. Surely it's imperative that Stephen Bradley gets the point across to his players before this game. We have to keep 11 on the pitch if we're to stand any chance here.
Yeah, true. I mean, we've been on the receiving end of some bad decisions, but also our discipline has been poor as well. And I mean, there's only so much you can do if the referee is making a poor decision. But once again, we did have some distant problems as well. So he has to hammer that point home and say, listen, this is, you need to keep the 11 playing field and just keep 11v11. I'd be extremely confident of beating them now if it stays 11v11. That has to be the case for us. And like I said, with injuries, we're starting to get some key players back now. We've Sean Kavanagh, who came on for 45 minutes against Derry. We've Ethan Boyle, who personally I don't think he'd probably get in the team at the moment, but he's coming back and it's another option. It's nice to have options there, because our squad is a little bit thin at the moment as regards to just impact subs and things like that. So I think Sean Kavanagh is a major comeback for us now. I'm really looking forward to seeing him, hoping he starts on Friday.
And what have you made of the season so far? Obviously, you must be delighted that you're up there with Dundalk. But looking at the squad, I still think they're missing a goal scorer. You know, there's that still that reliance on Green, who's still, I don't think, a natural goal scorer. And the guy that was brought in, I forget his name now.
Voyage,
yeah. He's not really made the impact.
Voyage, yeah.
He's not really made the impact that we thought.
To a certain extent. I'd agree with you in saying that Green isn't exactly prolific, but if you watch Rovers week in, week out, you'll see what Green does for the team. He's a fantastic addition to have. He creates so many goals and he keeps hold of possession constantly, and a lot of our build up play stems from him, and our attacks just really stem from Aaron Green, and he's been fantastic this season. He just can't seem to hit the back of the net as prolifically as a league winning striker would do. But I think we really do need to strengthen in the current window. Orhan Vojic hasn't really got much playing time. Like, to be honest, it'd be unfair for me to even judge him as a player, because he's rarely played. I mean, I've barely seen him play. He scored against Dundalk, scored against Waterford at the start of the season. Other than that, there's been cameos the odd 10 minutes here and there. I couldn't really judge him as a player. So personally, I'd like something tried and trusted coming in. I'd take maybe a wide player as well, some centre-half cover. I think we've got three players in, but I do agree with you. We do need a striker in. We need a better option on the bench to come off and change a game. That's pretty much how I feel about the coming transfer window anyway.
Right, Gary, I'm going to ask you the question that I said I was going to. Do you think they're good enough to win the league?
Personally, this season, I do think so. I think last season we were lacking a cutting edge. I think this season we've shown that we can go against the odds and pretty much win any game. But we do need to stand up and be counted now. And I hate saying this, but it's a must-win game on Friday. I haven't said it all season. I don't like saying it, but the next two games are going to define and shape our season. We really need to go out and win, beat Bowes. it wouldn't be the end of the world if we got a draw against Dundalk, but we need at least 4 points out of the next two. We really do. I genuinely think we are contenders. We've played some fantastic football this season. We've been really, really excellent at times. We've had a downfall as well. We've had a couple of blips. Dundalk are quite similar at times as well. They've had their blip at the start of the season. Ours was a couple of weeks ago. I genuinely think we are contenders, and we need to show it now. We need to step up and be counted, especially on Friday in the big Dublin derby.
So there you go, folks. Gary Parsons from the Tale from the East End podcast. He predicts Shamrock Rovers can go on and win the league this season. What's your views on that Between the Stripes LOI podcast, listeners? Get us on Twitter at Between Stripes and search for the lads Tales from the East End podcast. Give them a follow on Twitter and look out for their podcast. Gary, absolutely superb as always. Thanks for joining us and enjoy the big game on Friday.
Cheers, lads. See you now.
So that brings us to the end of Series 3, Episode 16 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Huge thanks to my co-host John Breyer, who has just legged it out the door. He's got a personal event to be at tonight, so that's why we may have just been a little bit less thorough with our previews than usual. Thanks to our three guests. I have to say, the interview with Mark Devlin, that's been one of my highlights of the season. I hope all our Dundalk listeners in particular have enjoyed that. And with that in mind, we'd really appreciate, especially Dundalk fans, if you can share that interview far and wide, because I think there were some really, really good talking points in that. And to our other guests as well, if you're a Rovers fan, if you're a Drogheda fan, give this show a share, and those interviews should interest your supporters. As always, we'd ask you to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, leave a review if you can. But most importantly, we love to hear from our listeners, so please do get in touch with us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on facebook.com/Between the Stripes. Leave your comments, let us know what you think, or if there's something you'd like to hear discussed, someone you'd like us to get on the show, please do get in touch. And as always, check out our YouTube channel, Between the Stripes TV. There'll be loads of content on that over the weekend. Folks, thanks again as ever, and we will speak to you next week. We will have a show during the mid-season break, so until then, we'll speak to you next week.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.